call this January 18th, 2017, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Harker, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Goins?
Here.
Juarez?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Gackman?
Here.
Markham is absent. Harker?
Here.
Thank you.
May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the November 9th, 2016, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting? Okay. Are there any questions or amendments to the meeting minutes? No? Okay. Roll call vote to approve the meeting minutes, please.
Harker?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Juarez?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Gackman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Meeting, the minutes are approved. Hey, just real quick, this one here. Just give it.
Yeah, there's no hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, moving down to the public hearing portion. Tonight, there are two public hearings scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of the hearings are to invite testimony from the members of public regarding the proposed requests that are being considered before the Planning and Zoning Commission tonight. The public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be in favor or against the requests or have questions for the petitioners regarding the requests being heard. Those people wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, state your name, who you represent, if anyone. You're also asked to sign in at the podium. And if you are planning to speak tonight as a petitioner, member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. Nobody is here, nobody's present, okay? So moving on now, well, we're gonna hear the petitioner, the staff, and move on. So can I get a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2016-04 and PZC 2016-05? Awesome. Roll call vote on the motion.
Juarez?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Gackman?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes.
And Goins?
Yes.
Okay. PZC 2016-04, the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, petitioner is requesting a text amendment to Chapter 13, Manufacturing Districts, to revise the Performance Standards section to reference the building regulations as the new noise ordinance standards.
All right. I'll give a little quick summary of what's been going on. The city's noise ordinance is getting updated. This is not in the actual noise ordinance. It's not in the zoning ordinance. It's in the public health and safety code. Overall, in 2014, the city took it upon itself to update some of the standards. It was rewritten based on just staff and surrounding municipalities due to there was a proposed downtown amphitheater, so it was in preparation to make sure there wasn't too much noise there. In 2015, there had been some complaints by nearby residents from Pinhead's Bar about excessive noise and vibration. Staff tried to work with Pinheads and the neighbors. There were some site visits. I'm trying to see what the problem was. And the readings outside of the area were within the city's noise ordinance. But there was still clearly lots of vibration and noise. So it didn't really seem right that everybody was kind of getting affected by this. The city then searched to retain a city and a soundscape engineering, which is they provide noise ordinance, things like that. They're consultants, basically, that look into noise. Soundscape engineering was retained to do a full study on that certain issue at Pinhead's Bar and to help us rewrite the noise ordinance. attached in the memo is their complete report of human reason. They proposed several different changes to the noise ordinance. I won't go in detail on all of them, but it kind of changed decibel levels per uses, added different tables and additions and subtractions to certain types of noise, so that pounding, pulsating noise can, it has to be lower than sometimes just other noise. And if you're next to a resident, there's modifiers. So basically, this is kind of the story of that ordinance. What we're requesting here is in our performance standards in the manufacturing district, there are regulations regarding noise. So we have amended them to reference the new incoming noise ordinance. So that's what we're requesting as a change, is to everything in that performance standard regarding noise and vibration. A lot of it was changed just to reference the new noise ordinance, so that we'd be consistent between zoning and public health and safety.
Precursor to when we're going to adopt the changes. So once those changes are adopted, because it's in the public health and safety code, which is administered through the police department, the public safety committee has to review it at a committee level, and then it'll go to city council. So once it's approved by city council, then they
then it has to be.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. But in the interim, what the city has done is we did engage Soundscape Engineering to put a proposal together to do a specific sound study on that site, not just to change our complete ordinance. We engaged Pinheads to see if they wanted to cost share in that, so we're working through that. They have made some interior modifications to address some of the noise from the machinery, which is in a metal portion of the building, which is like maybe 10 or 15 feet from the adjoining residential property lines.
Really? Is that close?
It's very close.
Wow.
It's very close. we explored maybe heightening the fence, but there's some other building, probably more sound walls and, you know, possibilities, heightened parapet wall, that could be done, but we won't know until the sound study comes back, because we're not quite sure if it's the DJ component of the facility, because they do have DJ and live bands there, or if it's the actual machinery. So we're kind of at a loss. I was at the site, and they had the DJ going. I mean, he was playing some very loud thumping bass, and I could not hear it on the outside. But the adjacent homes could feel the vibration. So that's where the issue is. Our noise meters go out there and they're not hitting the mark, but yet the homes next to it are feeling the vibration. So.
Okay.
There was also, Jeff Olson brought up a good point prior to the meeting about the vibration and sound. There are exemptions that we're proposing, not in this section that you guys are looking at, but just as an FYI, when we adopt the new sound ordinance, there are exemptions, and one of them is for construction activity, because you're going to hit that vibration. And if you see on your dais, Jeff can explain a little bit more what this is in regard to.
So, I mean, demolition, and we get hollered at all the time, causing vibrations on neighboring structures. So that this form was printed out on your table is the seismic email I get every day. I one of my guys puts a sensor on site. And looking at the data from the old ordinance, the limits that they were setting, you look at, for instance, right in the center of the page is a road called Peak Vector Sum. 0.343 inches per second. I'm no scientist. I can't tell you what that means. But what I do know is that that is just me running a machine, a Caterpillar excavator, across the back to my site just driving, I tripped this vibration monitor 25, 30 foot away. So what I was trying to explain to Christy was, if we adopt this standards in table 15, which are 0.10, 0.12, 0.20, 0.24, just by driving equipment adjacent to these areas, we're already exceeding. Does it make sense? So if in the future someone were to want to wreck a building in downtown Burrville, where you do have buildings that sitting right up against adjacent buildings, you're going to trip that monitor by even coming out of the site. So it would make it cost prohibitive to actually wreck anything in downtown Burrville. Conventionally, you'd have to pay, instead of a $200,000 job, it'd be $1 million job to do it by hand. That doesn't help anybody with development downtown. So I just wanted to bring it up.
Yes, and so how we plan to address this is in the exemption, we'll make sure that we note not just noise, but vibration.
Yeah,
so then we can go to the discussion.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to public hearing number two, which is PZC 2016-05. The United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois petitioner is proposing a text amendment to several chapters of the United City of Yorkville zoning ordinance, including Chapter 2, Definitions, Chapter 6, Permitted and Special Uses, and Chapter 15, Non-Conforming Building Structures and Uses. The amendments to Chapter 2 define a semi-truck, semi-truck repair, and clarify the commercial school slash trade school definition. The Chapter 6 amendment will provide that semi-truck repair is only allowed as a permitted use in M1 Manufacturing District and M2 Manufacturing District. The Chapter 15 amendment will provide clarification for non-conforming land uses within the city.
All right, Jeff? And me and Christy are going to give you an update on just kind of quickly go over what we were doing here. So over the course of, you know, time of the year, several little things come up that could use clarification, a little more clarity in the zoning ordinance. So it's things that are ambiguous. You know, we'll try and make it a little more clear so we have solid footing on our understanding. The first semi-truck and semi-truck repair, we're proposing to add a definition for semi-truck and semi-truck repair. Currently, we do not have a definition for automobile. We have a definition for motor vehicle, which includes basically anything that's pulled by a motor. And then but there's automobile repair, talking about engine, main things being repaired, cars, things like that, but it doesn't specifically call out semi-truck. So automobile repair is allowed in the business districts, you know, your Tuffy's, your oil change places, things like that's automobile repair. What we were having is a possibility of a semi-truck repair being done in a business district. And it doesn't really, it's not really very consistent with what that district's for large semis to be in business districts. So what we were proposing is to define what a semi-truck is, define what semi-truck repair, and then allow it in the M1 and M2 districts where semi-trucks typically go. So that is our first proposal for that.
Historically, semi-truck repair has occurred in the manufacturing district, and we haven't had an incident where semi-truck repair was occurring in a business district until we came upon a business that had not come to the city to get an occupancy permit. We got a complaint, and we went out and we investigated. What was unclear is, look at that current definition of automobile repair. Having the term in there for trailers, there was some discussion that could be misinterpreted by an individual to say, well, it's a semi-trailer repair business. So that's why we're looking to clarify this and make sure that these larger size repairs happen in the appropriate manufacturing district.
The company is currently in Yorkville that repairs semis and semi-trailers. Illinois truck maintenance on 71 and 47. Mm-hmm. I know there's another guy down
on 126?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On both specials?
No,
they're in the M1. They're actually in the M1 district.
What about the one that's out on Elderly? Isn't that the one that was brought up? Isn't that what that brought it up? Remember
no,
that one? Is that one a different one?
No, that's a different one.
That was a different
one.
Business that shouldn't be in there, right?
That one was out in the county. So
oh, okay.
That was our county review.
Okay.
But yeah, but that is something that it's in our mile and a half planning area. So if we ever were to annex that property or our boundaries expand, we want to make sure those type of uses don't occur in areas. And that was an ag use. But what prompted this was actually a user that had an accessory building on the lot. And it was very close, again, to residential. And with the semi-truck repairs, it brought about a lot of complaints. So we went out there, and that's when we discovered, oh, A, you don't have occupancy permit, and B, you wouldn't be allowed in here anyway. So
our mediation is for that situation?
We're just clarifying it, making it more clear that if anyone in the future say, I'm gone or Jason's gone, that they know in our zoning ordinance the reference to trailers is not to semi-truck repair in the business district, and it's only allowed in the manufacturing district.
Just bring about a lot more clarity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right, Chris, do you want to cover the
commercial
baseball game?
Sure. So if you recall, about last year, we approved a special use for an alternative holistic school to go in the manufacturing district. So it was very clear at that time that the user was using the space for classroom instructional type of use and not including the traditional type of amenities that you would find in a school, a typically zoned school like a gymnasium or a cafeteria. So they were just renting space to do instructional classroom setting activities. What we've come across is the way that definition was written originally is that the inclusion of the word academic opens the door for a traditional school now to reside in a manufacturing district or a commercial district. So we wanted to clarify that and then make the distinction by the type of activities or amenities that you would find. So say if there is a small homeschool-based group of parents that want to rent out space in a manufacturing district or in a business district, an office or two to do classroom instruction, they can do that under this definition. But if a traditional school finds a business building and then wants to occupy it as a school, then they can do that. And the impetus behind this is that commercial areas should be maintained for commercial uses, tax-paying uses, tax-generating uses, rather, than to be used by a school that could then be exempt from that and take valuable land off the tax rolls. So that was the clarification on that.
The question I have is, what was on the ordinance? The use of the word auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered about that. You had a commercial trade school.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a large group instruction room where you're actually teaching them and an auditorium if you're trying to exempt certain things to make sure it's not an academic institution?
That's
clearly seen as a recreational facility. But I wonder about the word auditorium and what you're talking about.
Sure. So auditorium was called out for two reasons. In the outside of the zoning ordinance in the building code, you have use groups. If you're in construction, you understand that you have A use groups, which are your assembly type uses, and then you have your B type uses, which are businesses. Auditoriums typically fall under that A class, where you have an assemblage of a lot of a high capacity of individuals in a area like this. It would, at a certain threshold, require sprinkling, ingress and egress changes, where if it was a classroom setting, yeah, the capacity isn't as large, and then you have different regulations for that. But I will look up if we define it in our zoning ordinance.
The way it's described, it makes
sense. Mm-hmm. definition. So when we don't have a definition, our zoning ordinance tells us to then fall back on the most current version of the Webster's Dictionary for that use, or that word.
Awesome. Anything else?
Non-conforming land uses will be our final recommendation. Currently, the situation is there are a lot of agricultural lands which may be subject to elimination upon the expiration of an annexation agreement. So we have several annexation agreements within the city that were agricultural land. There was a plan, it was approved, and then nothing happened. So that agricultural land is a legal non-conforming use. Now, in some of these annexation agreements, there's language saying, well, if it's still agricultural, that's fine. No matter, you know, it's okay. But there are some that aren't. So upon the expiration of an annexation agreement, which is typically 20 years, it's possible that agricultural land then would have to conform to whatever the zoning was. So we just wanted to add this exemption to say, okay, 20 years goes down the road and you've been a farm for 50 years, you don't have to all of a sudden stop farming. That's pretty much the point, the purpose behind that recommendation.
And what will happen, say that we didn't have this clause in a property that didn't have in their annexation agreement that language, we would then say, all right, you're zoned residential, you have to stop farming and utilize this land for residential uses only, or you're going to be fine. Or then you can come back and request an extension, but you only can get 2 years. So every 2 years, you have to keep coming back. So it becomes administrative work. And it's not, you know, clear to any future buyer that they would have to do that. So.
Awesome. Okay. That's it. Okay, close it. Yep. Since all the public testimony regarding these requests have been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing? Awesome. Roll call vote on the motion to close, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Gockman?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
And Juarez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, no old business, so moving on here to the new business, which is the business we just did. But new business, PCC 2016-04, the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, petitioner is proposing a text amendment to Chapter 13, Manufacturing Districts, to revise the Performance Standards section to reference the building regulation as the new noise ordinance standards. What's that?
The
what? Yeah, can I get a motion to approve the proposed request? Would you please read the proposed motion?
Yes, sir. In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on January 18, 2017, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request to amend the performance standards regarding noise contained in Section 10-13C-2 of the United City of Yorkville Zoning Ordinance as presented by staff in a memorandum dated January 11, 2017.
And second? Second from somebody? Deb seconds?
Second.
Awesome. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Gockman?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Juarez?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes.
Awesome. Motion is approved. Okay, PZC 2016-05. The United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, petitioner is proposing a text amendment to several chapters of the United City of Yorkville Zoning Ordinance, including Chapter 2, Definitions, Chapter 6, Permitted and Special Uses, and Chapter 15, Non-Conforming Building Structures and Uses. The amendments to Chapter 2 define a semi-truck and semi-truck repair, and semi-truck repair to clarify the commercial, school, and trade school definition. Chapter 6 amendment will provide that semi-truck repair is only allowed as a permitted use in M1 manufacturing district and M2 manufacturing district. Chapter 15 amendment will provide clarification for non-conforming land uses within the city. Can I get a motion to approve the request?
So moved.
Would you please read that proposed motion, please?
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on January 18, 2017, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request to amend the United City of Yorkville zoning ordinance as presented by the staff in a memorandum dated January 11, 2017.
Awesome. Can I get a roll call vote? Can I have a second?
Second.
Can I have a roll call vote on the motion to approve, please?
Yes. Gochman?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Awesome. Okay, additional business. Year in review.
Okay.
Staff, you have the floor.
Thank you. So we do this annually. I try to do it in January. We have a meeting. I'll do it in February. Just lets you know what accomplishments not only you guys have made over the past year and projects that you reviewed, but also what staff has done behind the scenes that you're not aware of that you don't see us do. So what I have listed for you in the memo is just some highlights and what we've done, and as well as some projects. So I'll go over it really quickly. The basis of all of our efforts have been to proactively address the challenges that we've had in either our process or our code that slows down or makes the approval process inefficient for developers. And then on the resident side, we try to look and find any inconsistencies or burdensome regulations in our code and kind of update them and make sure that that in the future we don't run into these problems. So 2016, departmental updates and accomplishments. We hired Jason. Yes. He started in August. We did hire on the building side, a part-time code inspector. She's been very active, getting out in the city. She's actually doing some admin work on the side, which is helpful to our department. So we're looking forward to her growing with our department as well. If you don't know, community development encompasses building, zoning, planning, and engineering. As far as building permits, which is great for us, we've issued 151 new housing starts. The year before, we had issued 84.
Wow.
The year before that, we issued 72. The year before that, we issued 63, and then before that, it was in the 40s.
Wow.
So we've been, chugging along. We actually, and this is new information, we actually were out of the surrounding communities number 2 in housing starts. We actually beat out Plainfield and Oswego. Or Oswego was a bit ahead of us.
Oswego was
behind us.
Awesome.
Yeah. In the Chicago metropolitan area outside of Chicago, we're number 7.
Really?
We are number 7.
Wow.
We're making a comeback. One of the top ones was, aside from Chicago, there was Hampshire. I couldn't even imagine Hampshire pulling a lot of building permits. But Hampshire was up there, of course, Naperville, but we were up there. So
that's awesome.
And a lot of people attributed to the build program, so I'm really happy about that. If you don't know about our building department, we only have 2 full-time employees. Pete Rados is our building code official, and then we have Bob Prater, who is our building inspector. Outside of that, we have part-time help, which is the new hire. Between those two, they completed 900 building permits, so from miscellaneous to big construction. A good example is the Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. One person. Pete does. We do not outsource any plan reviews. All plan reviews from residential to commercial to industrial are all done in-house. You know, we have a turnaround of 2 weeks for plans. So,
yes.
Pete is very dedicated, very, very dedicated. He does great work. And we also partner with Kendall County. So if they're out, he does their inspections. And if we're out, they kind of help us. We end up, you know, doing more in than the other way around. But, you know, it works out. So we're very, very happy. We collected almost $2 million in fees just our department alone.
Nice.
Operating for our department out of the general fund, all this money goes to the general fund. We're at, we recoup about $300,000 of that, and then other the citywide rest of the funds go. Total construction value was about $36 million. That's slight decrease from last year, but last year we did see a smaller amount of building permits, but you know, different kind of quality of product, you know. The bill program, the average home construction value is about $183,000, and then any non-build, which is your single family, was about $139,000. So it looks like the build is not only producing more building permits, but actually bringing a higher quality, higher value home to the city. We revised and extended the Sugar Grove and Yorkville Planning Boundary Agreement to April until April 2020. Actually, it should be April 2030.
Like 2020. You really extended it.
We approved, Jason was going to be working on a enterprise zone for the city of Yorkville, and we stumbled upon an existing body that has the authority to issue enterprise zones in our area. So he worked really closely with IRBDA, and we created a incentive policy that if building construction comes into the city and it meets the standards of IRBDA. If you're not familiar with enterprise zones they kind of promote manufacturing development, and the benefit is they have to produce a certain amount of jobs. It has to be in a particular area that is in need of these jobs or just lost manufacturing. And the benefit that the business gets is that they get to their tax on any products that they buy to build their facility is tax-free. So it has to be in Illinois and it's tax-free. So Jason worked with the Upper Illinois River Valley Development Authority to get us included in that enterprise zone area, and then we cost share with any applicants the $2,000 application. We completed, scanned, and digitized over 22,000 sheets of commercial and residential building plans so that now we can move to the process of eliminating the paper copies of the ones that we can.
Nice.
We are required by state to keep all commercial building plans, but residential after 7 years, and we've scanned and backed them up, we can get rid of those. Freeing up spaces. We did an occupancy audit program. We sent out over 300 letters to commercial property owners letting them know if they have any tenants that they need to have occupancy permits. That's how we caught that one individual. We authorized an extension internally, administratively for Heartland Meadows. Most of you all were on that planning commission that approved the 47 lot age restricted development. It hasn't started yet, and so they came in after 3 years. Any special use for PUD expires, so they came in and asked for an extension. And by ordinance, I can administratively extend that extension. And I just want to let you know we extended it for another 2 years for them. So they have until May 2019 to construct, to begin construction, or they have to come back and get another extension. Otto Creek subdivision, they're almost built out. They have 2 lots left.
Wow.
To build, and then one.
I just reviewed one today.
Perfect. So
wow.
1 lot left of the residential portion, single family. They do have those areas that are for the townhomes. They haven't really showed any interest in constructing anymore. So actually, Pulte is moving into Grand Reserve. So they bought some units in Grand Reserve, and they're gonna start construction in Grand Reserve.
Any information on school?
On the school?
Well,
we did meet with the school district probably about a couple of months ago before the holidays, and we shared a lot of our data on how we are projecting growth, and they're using that internally to then decide when and where new schools should occur and to project their population as well. So we are sharing with them, and then they'll tell us if there's any new schools. But yeah, that's gonna definitely trigger. I know Grand Reserve has their own school in there, but may trigger another one. But yeah, it is. So that's moving forward. And then Caledonia, we approved a backup SSA and a clarification of their subdivision.
But there's a lot of lots. Oh, is there a lot of lots still out there in Caledonia?
Yes. Tons? Yes, there are. So, and there's another platted area, a third phase that hasn't been final platted yet. So we're looking at 60, over about 120 lots left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then that's not including that third.
Yeah. Is the new thing north of Cornelius or whatever?
No, everything is south of Cornelius. It's just east. So it's okay. That area east. Mm-hmm. So it's about 66 lots in that area.
Gotcha.
So they're seeing some activity too. And then the build program is extended to 2017. Of course, you know all of the projects that you've reviewed in various capacity as either Planning Commission or PCC, so it's 12. Not including the two that Jason just brought before you that had a 2016 number. And then finally, progress of our 2016 planning direction. Part of that is a comprehensive plan. You know, we adopted that and we want to start moving forward and implementing those goals. A big portion of that, the comments that came back is we have no identity in the downtown. We need something to identify who we are as a city, where our boundaries begin, and welcoming, you know, to the public that this is the downtown and spur development. So three things we're looking forward to in the next 1 to 2 years. First one being enhancing the landscaping in the downtown. So that's that hill there, you know, along 47. It's very steep.
Yep.
And our public works department is like, look, we need to do something that's low maintenance because we don't need to be hiding mowers down there, you know. So this is a plan. We hired HR Green to do a concept plan. This isn't by no means the final. We presented this to the Economic Development Committee. We'll be presenting it to City Council. And hopefully it'll be incorporated in our budget when we approve it in April so that we can start moving forward. It looks like it's going to be a multi-phase development, possibly with one of the larger elements done first being the wall.
So that's the parcel that had the
For
sale retail, like who would want to
be? I know, right? Yeah.
The for sale is for the property. Actually, see where our property line is? It's for the corner. That's where the old Mueller building was was torn down. This area is actually owned by the state of Illinois, this portion, but they're allowing us to do maintenance in that area.
That's nice.
That's it. Right.
Thanks a lot. We'll take care of your stuff.
Right.
That sounds like a favor.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Can I? One of the things that I noticed, I mean, especially since we're talking about this, you know, that I was excited about was the knocking down of those nasty buildings downtown.
Yes.
I saw that the other day. I'm like, kudos.
Yes.
Kudos.
So that's
Yorkville.
That's a big part of it, too. Those buildings were owned by Imperial Investments. They have been cited several times by Pete Rados, our building code official, for a number of things, and the amounts were stacking up, and the direction from the adjudication hearing officers were if they tear these buildings down, then, you know, the city would look at not, you know, collecting those fees. And so it would have been done a lot sooner. We had issues with NICOR saying, we don't have gas. But there actually, you know, was a gas meter, and so just getting that all worked out, and you know, so other than that, it came down. They're looking at other opportunities on that property. There are some contaminants underground because at one point there was a gas station there. So there's a couple of things that they need to look at on how to remediate that and what they can do. But it does clear the way. And we've stepped up over the last year or two of our enforcement in the downtown property maintenance. We've actually created a higher level of property maintenance standards, even though you may not see right away work being done, but just the fact that we keep ticketing and re-ticketing and re-ticketing, we will have some impact on a lot of those bigger sites that are considered eyesores in the downtown.
Then the other thing that we noticed, you know, is the streetlights.
Yes, that was
the streetlights look fantastic, yes. You know?
Yes, the new streetlights. Yes, they were cost sharing through an ITEP grant with the state. And we had 44 light standards go up, and as part of that, we are going to propose new signage. In the comprehensive plan, there was a signage detail package. We did go out and get some quotes on what that would cost to implement it, including the two
monument signs.
We're looking at a digital component, so it'll be a mm-hmm. digital sign that people could touch screen and get information. So we're looking to put that in the budget as well, so you'll start seeing that too. And then finally, the third component is we needed to do a parking analysis of the downtown. We have businesses there. It's not clearly demarcated what's public parking, where parking is. So that's something that the signage would help. But what we did notice is that in the overall area of the downtown, especially the historic commercial core, which is the river on the north, it goes to Fox Street on the south, it goes all the way to Van Hemmen Park on the east, and then I think it's like Main Street on the west. We do not have a deficiency in parking, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. We actually have a surplus of parking. Including on-street parking, off-street parking, and
double parking.
Shared use, or if we have license agreements for parking. So in the totality, we have a surplus. However, on a block-by-block basis, where you have the businesses that you need the parking, that's where we're deficient. And overall, we're deficient in ADA parking. Mm. So that's a big one. So what we had HR Grant do is identify potential future parking areas, in the interim before development happens, where we can look to purchase land and create on-site parking or off-site parking or shared parking or, you know, parking structure. And then three, after development, per the comprehensive plan happens, you know, where we could encourage additional parking or reduce requirements for certain types of parking. So that's where we are with that, and we will use that as a guide to either recommend to the city council to purchase land for more parking or to encourage businesses when they come in, you know, to create opportunities for more parking.
Awesome.
So that's where we are.
Cool. Very good.
Next, if you guys have any goals for us you'd like us to implement over the next year, just feel free to let us know.
Okay. Anybody got anything else? Got it? All right, if there's nothing further, I gotta get the motion done. Can I have a motion to adjourn? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?